More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. Seltzer Health may be closing its doors, and if that group's 11 Treasure Valley clinics go away, what will happen to their 100,000 patients? Now, the Idaho Statesman reported last week that an official at Seltzer was told by their parent company, Salt Lake City's Intermountain Healthcare, that financial woes would force the clinics to close by the end of March, unless someone buys the group. Now, Seltzer sent a letter to its 100,000 patients on Thursday saying they would, quote, cease or sell all operations by March. So we've been hearing from many people who want to know, where will Seltzer's patients go if the group decides to close its doors come March? Will those patients put further strain on Valley Healthcare, which, as we already know, is stretched incredibly thin? So we wanted to ask Dr. David Pate about this. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. He's also our resident doctor on our Wednesday Doctor Roundtable. Dr. Pate, good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Gemma.
Okay, so Dr. Pate, can we just start with the really big question? And that is, as I mentioned, Seltzer has about 100,000 patients in the Treasure Valley. If Seltzer closes, where would these folks go for healthcare?
This is going to be extremely challenging. There, you know, obviously, patients are already starting to try to locate new physicians that are with existing providers out in the community. But many of those practices have very limited ability to take on new patients. And so that means that to absorb this, then one of a couple of things has to happen. The physicians leave Seltzer but stay in the community and maybe start up private practices or something like that. Or a new buyer gets here in time to continue operations. I think that sounds, from everything I'm hearing, like a very unlikely outcome. Or we have to try to recruit physicians, but one, recruiting physicians was already tough prior to the pandemic. It's gotten harder since the pandemic, and it's also gotten harder because Idaho is increasingly being perceived as hostile to healthcare providers because of many different things the legislature's mm-hmm. done over the last 4 years. So it's going to be very tough. And unfortunately, it's going to mean some patients are going to have to go out of the area for a period of time until we can absorb all this. It's really going to be quite serious.
And Dr. Pate, so let's talk about the physicians, the healthcare providers as well. I mean, as you mentioned, they could start their own practices. Maybe they could get hired at some other healthcare facilities in the Valley. If that were to happen, could these 100,000 patients be absorbed? But I would think, I mean, even if you're going to go get a new job, I mean, you usually have to interview. I mean, there's a process. And would some of these doctors stay until March to see what happens? Or would they all, a lot of them maybe, start looking for new work now, even if it is within the Treasure Valley?
Well, I would be shocked if they're not already putting their feeders out to other places. I am quite confident we're going to lose a lot of these physicians. And that's terrible because we could really use them here in Idaho. Mm-hmm. The problem is when St. Al's brought the lawsuit, it really kind of screwed the pooch because now I don't think St. Luke's or St. Al's could really hire many of these physicians, because back when this case was decided, the judge really indicated that it wasn't just for St. Luke's, but St. Al's couldn't acquire Seltzer either. So we're kind of in a rough situation here.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned how difficult it is for some people to already find a doctor, right? And a lot, and I know that the Idaho Statesman reported that that 35,000 of Seltzer's patients are primary care patients. Dr. Pate, we already have a shortage of primary care doctors in Idaho. So what kind of impact would this have on the healthcare system here in the Valley? I am just assuming that it's just maybe not big enough to absorb all of these patients?
Well, not the current infrastructure isn't. Certainly, there will be the ability to accommodate some of these patients, and it may take longer to be able to accommodate all of them. But, you know, it's one of the things that is quite shocking about how this is being handled is the very short timeline. Really, it's just over 2 months until it's threatened that Salser would close absent a buyer. And like I've already said, just doesn't, from what I'm hearing, as I don't have any inside information, but it would be very hard to conduct this transaction in 2 months unless there's already a buyer behind the scenes interested. So this is going to be a really big problem because you're going to have some people that are currently pregnant getting their prenatal care from Salser. Salser helps out a great deal in terms of providing urgent care services. So that's going to be more of a pressure. We can probably absorb a lot of that, but people are going to have to drive further. And then you've got some specialists at Salser that are in high demand because there's just a shortage of many different specialists. And the question is, how are those patients going to have continued access to care? And then you have what with the primary care, a lot of those physicians are seeing children and adults and doing many other things that I'm just afraid that a lot of people's healthcare is going to get delayed. And I think this is quite serious, although I have confidence that every healthcare provider here in the Valley will step up and try to do what they can.
So, you know, Dr. Pate, one thing that I hear anecdotally is that, you know, if you've been in the Treasure Valley for 20 plus years, you don't have a problem having a doctor because if you've kept your doctor, I mean, I think about, you know, my doctor, I have been going to the same doctor for 25 years, right? I don't have a problem getting in, you know, same as when I had my kids, et cetera, et cetera. It's those folks who have moved here maybe in the last 5 to 10 years or even recently. There's not space for these folks, right, to find doctors. And now we potentially have another 100,000 people who are going to be without a doctor. I would think that this is going to potentially back up the system for everyone, because no matter how many hours doctors work, and if they add more hours to accommodate people, it's just such a backlog.
Yes. Well, and many physicians already, because as you've said, a lot of us have established physicians, and so we're kind of set. But with all the new people coming to the Valley, it has been difficult to accommodate everybody, and especially on the timeline that they want. And so I think you're quite right that you can't make this kind of a switch overnight. And frankly, two months is our equivalent of overnight in healthcare because it just takes so long to create clinic space, equip it, staff it, and have enough physicians. And as I've already said, you know, during the pandemic, things were so hostile to healthcare providers. We lost a lot of healthcare providers. I'm talking even nurses and others that are really important to deliver this care. We're having trouble recruiting physicians to come here. It was hard enough before, but now they see the hostile nature. They see the legislature wants to criminalize medical acts and all kinds of things going on here that it just doesn't make the state particularly appealing to recruit new physicians. So it's going to take us a long time to accommodate this.
Dr. Pate, I want to go back to this lawsuit from about a dozen years ago. I don't want to necessarily get in the weeds about it, but again, a lot of folks may not know a lot about it. You were actually the CEO of St. Luke's when this lawsuit happened. And I'm curious about exactly what happened with it, because as you mentioned, and I have thought this, that here we are now, you know, where you know, gosh, wouldn't it be great if St. Luke's or St. Al's could absorb Salser? But really, I don't think that's even going to be a possibility. Not that I have any insight into this, but I did follow this case a dozen years ago.
Well, that's right. I was the CEO at the time. The Salser leadership was quite strategic and visionary. They realized even back then, and you'll recall when I was here as CEO, I was talking about we've got to change healthcare. This is not sustainable. It's not good. We've got to make these changes. And over the 10 and a half years I was CEO, we were making those changes to become more value-based instead of the current fee-for-service system. Well, the folks at Salser realized that they needed to change too. At that point in time, St. Luke's strategy was much more aligned with what they wanted. They solicited offers to be acquired from both of us. They selected St. Luke's. That's when St. Al's sued. We told the government that Salser, and Salser told the government that they were concerned about their long-term viability if they were not allowed to be acquired by us. And so this is not a surprise in that nature. Everybody knew this was going to be a tough thing. They were already losing specialists. They were already having trouble recruiting physicians. So had we been allowed to acquire them, then it would have been around this value strategy. They would still be in existence. And in fact, we would be transforming healthcare at a faster rate than we've been able to otherwise. And in fact, the judge even acknowledged that and just said, but unfortunately, the law wouldn't allow it.
So Dr. Payne, I only have about 2 minutes left with you. And I want to know, does this highlight or put a spotlight on just how fragile our healthcare system is in the United States?
Well, it absolutely does. And we've been sounding the alarm for quite a long time, which is why when we see some of these kind of ridiculous things going on, like some of the county commissioners wanting to take away tax exemptions and things like that, that just hurt health systems, that they don't really understand how fragile the healthcare system is. And in fact, hospitals have been closing throughout the country for some time now, and physician groups have been getting into financial trouble, and the whole current system of reimbursement on fee-for-service, where that reimbursement continues to go down, but your costs of equipment, your costs of supplies, your payroll costs, you have to pay doctors and nurses more. They're not going to take the same salaries that they did 10 years ago. And when you've got all these costs going up, but the reimbursement's going down, that's not going to be sustainable.
Well, Dr. Payne, as always, really appreciate your thoughts and perspective on this. And of course, we will see you on Wednesday as well. So thanks for your time today.
Talk to you then.
We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, talking about the future of Salser Health and the impact of a possible closure of those clinics in the near future. Of course, as I mentioned, we'll see Dr. Pate at noon for our regular doctor roundtable on Wednesday. We should mention both St. Luke's and Salser Health have been sponsors of Boise State Public Radio. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed, because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.